You know, we live in a world of competing beliefs, values, and choices. What you believe shapes how you live, and ultimately, who you become. Here's the good news. God hasn't left us to figure it all out alone. And today, on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we kick off the series, Reframing Your Worldview, where Rick is going to unpack powerful truths from God's Word, and he's going to help you see life clearly and live it with confidence and purpose. Okay, well, I can't wait to hear what Rick will share today, so let's join him right now for part one of a message called, Why Does It Matter What I Believe?
Friends, ideas have consequences. Every idea has a consequence, for good or for bad. Even the most trivial of ideas has a consequence because you're wasting time, energy, thought, maybe money. You're wasting your life on something that's trivial when you could be doing something much more positive with your life. So every idea has a consequence to it. You don't realize it, but every day you are affected and influenced by the worldviews of other people, the people all around you. You're not even aware of it. The worldviews of your friends, the worldviews of people you work with, the worldviews of your parents, of coworkers, of the media, of celebrities, of people you listen to in schools, teachers. They have influenced your life in ways you're not even aware of. And not only that, every day you're influenced by your own worldview. In fact, it determines your happiness. It determines your success in life. It determines what you feel about life. It determines your peace of mind, your stress level, your confidence level, all come from your worldview. So today, we're going to begin a new series that I'm calling Reframing Your Worldview. We're going to look at God's perspective on life, what life is really like, seeing life from God's point of view, and seeing the error in unbiblical worldviews, because they have tremendous influence over your life. And for 6 weeks, we're going to look at six of life's most important questions. Next week, we're going to look at the question, how do I know what's true? How do I know who's telling the truth? That's a good question. For that matter, how do I know what's real? It's hard to tell reality from unreality anymore, even with all the reality shows. You know they're all planned, so they're not really real. It used to be you'd say, well, I'll see it, and when I see it, I'll believe it. But your eyes can lie to you today because we have a thing called virtual reality. And I can show you things that look like they exist, but they don't. They don't exist at all. And so how do you know when it's unreality? How do you know when it's the real deal? So we're going to look next week at how do I know what's true and what's real? The week after that, we're going to look at the questions, who am I and where did I come from? The week after that, we're going to look at why is the world in such a mess? The week after that, we're going to look at how do we fix it? What's the solution? The week after that, we're going to look at how then should I live in light of my worldview? But today, I want us to look at the question, why does it matter what I believe? Why does it matter what I believe? And I want us to think about what is a worldview, why is it important, and how do I strengthen it? First, what is a worldview? Well, if you'll take out your message notes, there at the top of your notes, I've written a definition. My worldview is the beliefs that I build my life on. My worldview is the beliefs that I build my life on. It's how I view everything in life. It's how I view God. It's how I view myself. It's how I view other people. It's how I view Satan. My worldview includes my thoughts about life, about death, about the past, the present, the future. Your worldview includes what you feel about pain and about suffering and about problems and about good and about evil. Your worldview includes what you think about relationships, about time, about money. Everything you think about life is included in what we call your worldview. Now, you've never thought about it, but that's what it is. It's a worldview. And the truth is, everybody has a worldview, whether you realize it or not. You operate off of some kind of worldview. You remember Forrest Gump? And he said, life is like a what? Box of chocolates. That's a worldview. You don't know what you're going to get. It's a worldview. In Purpose Driven Life, in the book, I talk about your operating metaphor or your life metaphor. And when you say, well, I've always thought of life as, that's a worldview. I think of life as a party, or I think of life as a contest, or I think of life as a race, or I think of life as a circus, or I think of life, the way you view life, it's a struggle, is going to be a large part of your worldview. How you view life, how you view God, how you view other people. That's all a part of your worldview. And everybody's got a worldview, and it's very important because it's the most important tool you have in life. Now let me explain that. Your worldview is the basis on which you make your decisions. It's how you decide what you decide. Your worldview determines all of your choices. God wired your brain in such a way that every time you start to make a decision, your mind instantly accesses all of the information, all the data in your mind, and says, now, what do I believe about this? And you make a decision unconsciously on the basis of the things you believe to be true and believe to be real. If I'm in a car and I stop on the side of the road and I open the car door and I'm going to walk across the street, instantly, in a split second, my mind says, now, this is what I believe to be true. I believe I can get out of the car. I believe I can get across the street before that car comes. I believe I will not get hurt. And on the basis of what I believe to be true, therefore, I'm going to make this decision. You do it literally tens of thousands of times a day. Every time you make a choice, you access your worldview. It's all the ideas, all the experiences, all of the images, all of the beliefs, the convictions, the concepts, the principles, the standards, the hurts, all of those things are a part of your worldview. And you make your decisions based on your worldview. For instance, if you thought in your worldview that the world was going to end tomorrow, it would certainly change the decisions in the next 24 hours. You would act in a different way based on what you believed. If you thought this building was on fire, that belief would determine certain kinds of actions. And so what we're going to talk about for the next 6 weeks, clarifying your worldview, is not some academic exercise. It's not some intellectual theory or some philosophical concept. It is the most practical thing in your life, because your worldview determines all your relationships. It determines your success and failure. It determines your goals, your motivations, what you attempt in life. All of these things are influenced by your worldview. And if you want to change your life, you got to change your mind first. You got to change what you believe. Now, most of what you have in your worldview is unspoken. In fact, you've never even thought about it. The only people who actually think about worldview are people who take philosophy classes. Philosophy, by the way, is simply thinking hard about something. That's all it is. It's just thinking hard about something. And so if you want to think about the lint in your navel hard, that's your philosopher of navel lint. Just thought I'd throw that in. And you don't think about your worldview unless you ever sit down and go, now, what is the basis for what I make my decisions? And that's what we're going to do for a number of weeks. Why? Because you may be operating on an outdated, outmoded, out of order, faulty or false worldview. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away, the new has come. In the Living Bible translation, it says, when anyone becomes a Christian, he becomes a new person inside. The old passes away, a new life has begun. That means that if you've begun a relationship with Christ, you said, God, I realize there's no way I'm getting to heaven on my own effort. It's just going to be your grace, my faith in your grace, and I'm going to trust what your son came to do. I want a relationship with your son. If you begin that kind of relationship, then you have stepped across the line spiritually. And the Bible says you get a new identity. God says everything you've ever done wrong is completely forgiven. It's completely forgotten. Everything you've ever wished you hadn't done is wiped out. It's starting over. The Bible calls it being born again. It means you get a fresh start on life. That's all it means. I get to start over. I get a new identity. Now, if you have stepped across the line, you have a new identity. The problem is, in your mind, you're still playing old tapes. And those old tapes are tapes of things that people told you when you were growing up, which may not be true. When you're a kid, people tell you all kinds of things, and you just believe it because some adult told it to you. They say, well, you're uncoordinated, so you act that way. Well, you're not very good at sports, so you act that way. Well, you're shy. Well, you're boisterous. Well, you're never going to amount to anything. Well, you're not good at math. Well, you're not good at this or that. And all that stuff you believe, and what parents have told you and partners have told you and professionals have told you and peers have told you, all these things are in your database, and some of them need to be erased, to be honest with you. And you need to get a new view of you, God's view of you. And you need to get a new view of God and a new view of the world and a new view of history and a new view of where are we headed in life and what is the purpose and what is life all about, and stop playing old tapes. Now, why is that important? Because if you base your life on a faulty worldview, the results are disastrous and things aren't working out in your life. How do you know when you have a wrong worldview? You start asking questions like, why are things not working out? Why is this happening to me? Why are things not happening the way I thought they were going to happen? You have a faulty worldview. And you need to get it in line with truth and with reality. Not what you think might be true, but what is actually true in life. That's why we're going to do this series. We're going to look at what is real and what is true in this world and what is not true. Now, the good news is this. Although worldview can make our lives miserable or can make our lives happy or can make our lives confident or unconfident, the good news is that worldview is a choice. Nobody forces you to believe anything. Even God doesn't force you to believe anything. It's your choice. He has created you in His image, and He's given you the free will to choose what you believe and what you don't believe. So nobody's forcing you to believe anything. If your beliefs are making you miserable, if they aren't working out in your life, or if they happen to be false and incorrect, you can change them. That's the good news. In fact, I hope you will. During this series, I hope you'll have a worldview change and you'll get more in line with God's view of reality and God's view of you as we move ahead. Now, if you'll take your message notes, on your message notes, I've listed 7 popular worldviews that we find here in our culture, in American culture. Now, if I lived in some other culture, I might list some others. There are hundreds of worldviews. But these are worldviews that you can see in America every day of your life. Now, you're going to recognize these, but I doubt you've ever seen them as worldviews. You've probably never labeled them. But we're constantly bombarded by these ideas from the people around us. We get them in classrooms, we get them in books, we get them in the media, we get them in music, we get it in advertising. Now, this first worldview can be summarized in the word more. Get more, 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 more. And what is that worldview called? It's called materialism. Materialism says that the only thing that really matters in life is the acquisition of things. Materialists believe in life, liberty, and the purchase of happiness. And if I can't afford it, it's okay, I've got a credit card. And the materialist confuses our value with our valuables. They are not the same thing. We think that if I have more, I'm worth more. No, your net worth and your self-worth are not the same thing. A lot of people think, what does it take to be happy? Just a little bit more. That's called materialism, that I live my life simply to collect things, to get more money so I can buy more things, so I have more place to store them, and then I have to buy storage bins to store what I can't keep in my house. because I don't want to let go of anything because I am a materialist. And the theme of the materialist is, I wrote it down there, the one with the most toys wins. Anytime you see that bumper sticker, that, friends, is a worldview. That's a worldview, that the one with the most toys wins. And it is a whole materialistic, not a spiritual, but a material view of the world that says, oh, what's it all about? It's all about getting things. Get all you can and keep it all to yourself. Now, Jesus loved to challenge conventional wisdom. In fact, one of the things I love about Jesus is that he frequently said this. Go read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels. And Jesus would frequently say, now you've heard it said, but I tell you this. He would do it over and over. You've heard it said, but I tell you this. What's he doing? He's challenging conventional wisdom. And Jesus challenged the conventional wisdom of the materialist. He said this in Luke chapter 12. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. In other words, do not judge your life by how much you've got. The greatest things in life aren't things. He challenged the view of materialism. Now, here's a second worldview you hear a lot. It's, I got to think of me first. And we live in a me first mentality world, a serve yourself world that says it's all about you. And all of the commercials cater to this viewpoint of it's all about you. Like, have it your way. We do it all for you. Obey your thirst. You got to think of what's best for yourself. You deserve it. And for the last 40 years, our generation has been called the me generation. Or as Christopher Lash called it, the culture of narcissism. What is this view of I got to think of me first? Well, it's called individualism. And individualism says, I don't really care what it does to the children or what it does to you. I'm walking out of this marriage. I don't really care what it does to the people at work. I'm not going to be responsible. I got to think of me, me first. It's a totally self-centered, individualistic way of life that says I ignore the community. I ignore other people. I do what's best for me. Now, again, Jesus taught a totally different worldview. And in Matthew 16, he says this, if you try to keep life for yourself, that's a self-centered, individualistic life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find true life. Jesus said you only begin to live when you begin to give it away. That significance in life does not come from serving yourself. It comes from serving God and others. Significance does not come from status, from salary, from success. It comes from serving. By serving God and serving others, that's where significance comes from. Only in giving your life away. Challenging the conventional wisdom says, live for yourself. I got to think of me first. Do whatever feels good. Live for pleasure. Have fun. Girls just want to have fun. And live for the thrills of life, because you only go around once in life, so you better go it with gusto. This worldview is called hedonism. Hedonism is simply the desire that says the most important thing in life is how I feel. How I feel. And if I feel good, then it's good. If I feel bad, then it's bad. And your feelings become the judge of everything, and you're living for pleasure. And the number one goal of the life of the hedonist is to feel good, to live for comfort, as if the whole goal of life is to just be comfortable or to have pleasure or to have fun or to feel good. Well, now, God is the one who created pleasure, but it's not the goal of life. It's the benefit of living the kind of life God wants you to live. Pleasure is never the goal. It is the byproduct of doing the right thing. Now, this is the hedonism is the philosophy behind the Playboy philosophy that Hugh Hefner founded Playboy magazine on. He willingly says, I'm a hedonist. Now, you're not a Playboy, but you might be a hedonist. In fact, you might be a hedonist and not even know it. For instance, if the goal of your life is retirement, you're a hedonist. If the whole goal of your life is to simply do nothing, to sit back and do nothing, and to live a self-centered life, make no contribution in the world, my goal in life is to get to the point where it's all about me. You're a hedonist. If the goal in life is simply to make enough money so eventually I don't have to do anything, I can just have fun, have pleasure, then you're a hedonist. As I said, that is not the goal of life. It's the byproduct of life. You see, you weren't created to do nothing. And the Bible says this in Proverbs 21. I love this in the Message paraphrase. Are you addicted to thrills? What an empty life. The pursuit of pleasure is never satisfied. Mick Jagger's been singing, I can't get no satisfaction for 40 years. If pleasure is the pursuit of your life, you will never be satisfied. You won't get no satisfaction because you'll always want something else.
Wow, some powerful words from Pastor Rick today. And now this is really one of my favorite parts of the broadcast. This is letters from our listeners. And now here's Rick.
One of the greatest joys of my day is reading letters from our listeners. It truly is inspiring to see how God is working in your lives. And it encourages me just as much as I hope to encourage you. So today I want to share a note from Heather, who has been discovering the incredible benefits of studying God's Word every day. Heather wrote to me. She said, Hi, Pastor Rick. A friend of mine recently sent me your podcast, and I've been feeling lost and helpless, and I wasn't sure what to pray or how to pray or when to pray, and it's like I hit a wall, and I haven't been sure how to get back on track. Well, your message really spoke truth to me, and it made me realize the missing pieces I had in my life because I was not in God's Word daily. I was basically living my life without God, and I was trying to do everything on my own. Well, Pastor Rick, it goes without saying that doing life without God has been miserable failure. So thank you for stirring the Holy Spirit in my heart with the words that I needed to hear. I have now made the commitment to read God's Word every day and to pray daily. And I even started praying in the car as I go about my day just like you. It's hard for me to close my eyes and not fall asleep. You were listening. Please keep doing what you're doing and reaching people who really need to hear about Jesus and God's love. Well, Heather, I am so glad to hear that you're back in God's Word and that you're making it a part of your daily life. There really isn't anything more important than deepening your relationship with Him. And I love the fact that you are praying every day, especially while keeping your eyes open while you're driving. Do you or somebody know or even feel lost yourself like Heather once did? Well, the best way to find hope and strength is by staying connected to God every day. That's the purpose of Daily Hope, and that's why I started it, to help people like Heather dive into God's Word and experience His encouragement on a daily basis. Now, our Daily Hope devotionals and our podcasts are completely free, and they're delivered straight to your inbox every morning. So if you're not getting these, sign up today and start each day with biblical wisdom and encouragement from God's Word. Just go to PastorRick.com and sign up today.
Hey, be sure to join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.